Blog Talk
Hello
Radio.
And welcome to Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers that are here to serve you and help you understand the planetary aspects of the moment and how they are unfolding in the politics, in our lives, and in yours. And later on, we're going to ask for call-ins on at 347-215-8881. And once you get on, please hit the number one, and that will bring you in. And I see Mark Woltz on the line tonight, but I can't get him on. If he could hit that one, and we'll try to upload him. Normally, I'm joined by Mark Woltz and Ann Ortley, two wonderful astrologers that are a great joy to work with. And tonight, hello? Hello, Mark, are you there? Hello, Mark, can you call back in? This is, again, Heather Rowan Robin speaking to you tonight. It's been quite a week right after this eclipse that just happened last Saturday. And this eclipse was a very intense one, Aries to Libra, and we were talking about this last week, about the difference between our personal needs and the needs of our connections and our relationships, and how can we find a healthy balance between the two. Now, this was also hit as this eclipse was conjunct Aries. The sun was conjunct Aries, so was Mercury, and they were both square Pluto. Now, this lineup, hello, Mark, are you on the line?
Yes, hello.
Hello, come on in. Welcome. We're just talking about the effect of this eclipse on us in this week ahead, and that it's still ringing through the countryside. I see it in the headlines today. How did you feel the eclipse this last week?
Not so much. The usual clearing out, changing of things. Yeah.
For me, it was energizing. It wasn't hitting anything particularly directly, but I could feel it resonating around me. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the chart of the USA, and we have our sun at 13 degrees of Cancer and our Saturn at 14 degrees of Libra. So these two positions have been really resonating with the eclipse and with the Uranus-Pluto square. Uranus was within a degree of opposed the sun, and Mars and Uranus was opposed Saturn at the time of the eclipse. And I think that this recent killing that happened on Saturday by a policeman of a black man in Charleston, North Carolina, that was filmed by a bystander and proven that he was shot in the back, and then evidence was placed on him, a taser was put next to them, and it was turned in as this man stole my taser, so I shot him, and was, you know, it's a clear example of where the police lied, and they shot a black man. And the mayor of Charleston has come out and against it. I gather they fired the guy. And it feels like this could be a turning point in the issues of police abuse, that this was such a clear case that if we're lucky, it can be used to set a completely different precedent than has been set lately.
Yeah,
I looked
at
that eclipse on the sun's chart, on the chart of America.
Yeah, and that's the theme mm-hmm. of Pluto square Uranus that we've been mm-hmm. going through so strongly for several years now, and it's winding down at this point, but things have really come to a head, and it really, much of what it has brought up is abuse of power.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, whether that's on a kind of local neighborhood level or larger. And, you know, we as a society, we have to pay attention to it and decide what we're going to do about it. And, you know, whenever Pluto is involved in these kind of issues, the thing that has to happen is people have to decide to look for the truth. Because the truth will always straighten it out. And, you know, no judgments on it, just, you know, this is what happened. This is the truth. And that's why having a video shot the way that one was, it's not open to a whole lot of interpretations. You know, it's pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is the way that Pluto has to be dealt with. You know, Pluto will manipulate things and abuse power and so on and so on. But when it's just treated in a very straightforward way, then that all comes unraveled. So, you know, the feeling that, the impulse on the part of the police officer was that I know how to make this look like it wasn't, you know, it wasn't what it was, right? I can just put my taser and we're done. He didn't realize that there was a record being made for everyone to see. So,
yes,
you know, he acted as if he acted without knowing that it was being recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Had he known it was being recorded, he probably would have acted differently.
Mm-hmm.
But not necessarily any better, you know. Anyway, that's
accountability. One of the things that may be eclipsed. I mean, you look at that Uranus in Aries, the rebellious spirit fighting against the abusive power is one way of looking at that. But you could also say that accountability is holding against that erratic energy. And in both directions, we have to look at it, how it works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it is interesting. I've also seen, we had one write-in question about how the aspects were hitting somebody's chart who had the eclipse hit right on the cardinal points. And so this is, because again, when the eclipse hits you anywhere in your chart, but particularly the cardinal points, it will resonate for months. It's not over in a short period of time. Like in America, it's not over on Saturday, but something happens Saturday that will resonate for months, and we will be dealing with this. The chart, someone wrote in for August 7th, 1962, at 11:01 a.m. in Derby, Pennsylvania, who's had a particularly tough time lately and wanted us to take a look at her chart. And I have another friend who was born also with the same degree on the ascendant who also wanted us to look. And the ascendant of 12 degrees or 13 degrees of Libra, so the and one of them seems to be having a particularly tough time. The other one is having a particularly good time. And they're both feeling the Uranus on the descendant, oppose the ascendant, and squaring the nodes, with Pluto down at the bottom of the chart. Now, the second, so I think it's a good pairing, because we can see that change can be a positive or negative experience for somebody. It doesn't have to be one way or the other. When you see something coming in your chart, they can be, it's how you work with it. Now, I remember when Pluto hit my IC, or the very bottom of the chart. When you're looking at a chart, the line at the very bottom is like the taproot that runs through your spine, through the center of the earth, and out the other side. The IC, the cusp of the fourth house. People with Pluto coming over that, I did that when I moved from New Mexico to New York City just in time for 9/11. And I moved into this transformative world. And that transformative world affected me deeply, and I went to Interfaith Seminary in response to Pluto over the IC. The second person whose chart, I'm thinking of Julia, who's got Pluto on the going across the IC, is in the process of buying a house and letting go of a house that has been become lethal to her. It's been, she's become allergic to the house. So Pluto going across that is a chance to really transform her working, her living experience, and have it come alive for her. The rest of her chart is responding well to the transits. This chart for August 7th, 1962, a Leo moon in Scorpio, who has just finished a progressed lunar new moon only 5 months ago and is in the process of starting over. And the progressed moon is at 10 degrees of Libra, just coming across the ascendant in the next few months. I think there's going to be a break in the hard time as that moon comes across the ascendant and gives her a little breathing room. And she begins to feel more visible. Because for a Leo to have both the progressed sun and moon in the 12th house can be painfully invisible. For a Leo with their moon in Scorpio natally, there's always this approach avoidance conflict around visibility. Please see me. Please don't see me. Please see me. Please leave me alone. And that whenever we send out truly conflicting messages to the world, it's hard for the universe to give us a clear answer. So we often get as many mixed results as we send out energies. That's one reason why it's helpful for us to work on those squares and oppositions in our chart, so we find a balance between them. How do you coach people with those natal squares to find a balance between those sides, Mark?
Well, when you have the squares, it shows a conflict that you have to deal with, and it keeps coming up. And very often it's played out in scenarios that develop around you. So the universe has a way of sending players in to act out what we have within us and show us sort of on a screen projected outside. And so often we find ourselves in conflict. And the thing that I think is so helpful about astrology is you can follow the symbolism, see it how it's acting out in the world around you, and identify, oh, that's Pluto. Oh, that's the moon, right? And then ask yourself, what is that reflecting from inside of me? Because that same conflict will be internal. And in understanding what's going on around you, you're also understanding what's going on within you. And that's why it's happening. So the symbols give you an opportunity to understand the world that you're experiencing, and then also something that you're wanting to work out in an internal drama that you have. So basically, the job then becomes looking at symbolism and understanding, for example, what is Pluto? What is that energy, and where is it within me? And why do I feel that it's hard for me to work with that energy? And because we notice it in the world around us and we say, oh, there's a big problem with that. There's a big Pluto problem in the world or in my neighborhood or in my household. There's a big Pluto problem. But if I can understand that as, okay, it's about power. It's about how power is used and where our own actual sense of empowerment comes from, and how we can tap into it rather than feel that someone else controls it. And that's usually the issue with the Pluto. People feel that they're drawn into a drama of either control or be controlled. And so there's a kind of this urge that, well, I have to control everything. And it becomes very black and white. You know, it's either all in my control or it's all out of my control. And, you know, if we can understand that there are nuances, and that you know, it wouldn't be fair
and,
for me to
and
totally
you've got
control.
A you know, you did a really interesting point. Is it in my control or is it I'm not? I see that one of these people has chosen to kind of do a death and rebirth on their house, on the Pluto, on the cusp of the fourth. And the other one has not been able to choose that, as far as I can figure out, but may have to choose it anyway, the death and rebirth of their living circumstance. And I think, got a point there is, you know, when falling dive is like, how do you take the control back by choosing to find a good way of expressing those aspects? And then these people, how do they feel that they are more empowered in their home circumstance?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And the true power that I have doesn't come from controlling other people.
No.
It actually comes from allowing other people to be empowered in the same way that I will be empowered. And that's simply tuning into the true self and saying, what am I here to do, and how can I help other people do what they're here to do? And that's really what Pluto is looking for, and that's where the real transformations come through. Is when we're looking for empowering everyone around us as well as ourselves. But we make the mistake of sometimes either feeling that I have to hold on real tight because somebody's trying to usurp my power, or else I have to control them before they control me. And then that's what makes it a contest. And very often a very important, very serious, terrible contest. But the real contest is within us.
And in this case, with the Leo, Moon, and Scorpio, there's a contest between the need for privacy, which tells everybody to kind of go away and doesn't really trust that intimacy will keep her from safe and not to keep her sanctuary safe. It looks like there was a Neptune Moon issues that could leave feeling invaded earlier on in their life, and not trusting letting people close without getting overwhelmed, so they might tend to keep them at a distance. But the Leo desperately needs the connection. And how can they kind of really work with that tug of war between those two sides to make either side feel connected, that we can, you know, that they could develop more relationships because they trust their boundaries, because they know they'll take care of them.
Yeah.
And they believe that they have a right to be alone even when they're connected. That would be an important process. That's, you know, how do you get both of those sides of the square to begin to respect each other, communicate, and find a way of meeting both their needs?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation for a Leo. Because if you take a moment and look at the solar system, our sun is a star, and it's actually quite content just to do what stars do, which is send out all this energy, just a huge continuous blast of energy, which is endless within it. And that's all it does. But where Leos make a mistake is they feel, well, I have to have all those planets around me that enjoy that energy, or else I'm existing for nothing. And in fact, that's not the way our real sun works. It just sends out the energy, and it can't control where that energy is going to go. It can't control how it'll be used on the planet Mercury, how it'll be used on Venus, how it'll be used on the Earth, right? And Leos will make that mistake and feel that, well, I can't just sit here and do that. I have to know where it's going, and I have to feel the appreciation back. And, you know, I have to know, you know, who's sunning themselves on the beach, right? Because of my rays. And you know, in the real solar system, no, the sun is content just to sit there and do that. And that's what Leos have to remember. So with the square to the moon, there's this feeling that, you know, I am doing this for someone, and they had better appreciate it.
Right.
And they better receive the nurture that I'm sending out and let me know how important it is. And that's actually not the case.
Yeah.
You need to just send it out and trust that wherever it's meant to go, it'll find its way there.
That's
beautiful. In the same way that what I need, this is the moon on the mm-hmm. other side, you know, what I need emotionally and what I need in terms of nurture, I will get.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it won't all come from the sun.
There
are other things that I need. And that's moon squaring the Leo sun from Scorpio has the feeling that if I don't get what I need from, you know, where I think it's coming from, then I'll be annihilated. You know, I have to have what I need from that person, and then I decide who that person is. And
mm-hmm.
you know, that's the mistake that can come up with the square. And so the square is there to teach us, no, you can't force
mm-hmm.
your love onto someone else. And you can't force what you need from someone you love to come from them.
Mm-hmm.
And you
so
have to,
I'm
you,
looking
you trust
at
that
their, yeah,
mm-hmm.
and that's a powerful thing. And that trust is a little tricky with a Scorpio moon, but I think it's part of the healing. I see that I'm looking at the astrocartography chart for. That in case Pluto on the IC means they need to move, and I don't know where that person is, but they have a Jupiter on the well-aspected Jupiter and Jupiter on the descendant that runs right between Arizona and the California border and diagonally up through Spokane, Washington. So if you drew a line between those two and put 200 miles on either side, that's a positive for Jupiter on the descendant. We would need to go into more detail to find more information about what they need. But there's also a Venus on the ascendant where people think that person is wonderful that runs right down the Mississippi River. And so if you gave it 200 miles on either side of the Mississippi River, might be a place that's well supported for this person.
Right, or maybe a houseboat up and down the river.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm very tempted by that.
Right.
Now that the river's moving. But it's very low this year. Very low.
Yeah, I would think so.
So I'm going to... We're ready to call on our next caller here.
Okay.
Hello, 585. You're on the line. Do you have a question for us? Okay. They don't have a question.
Okay.
If they do, they can hit 1 and raise their hand, and then we'll answer them. Otherwise, if you have a call question, you can call us for the last 5 minutes at 347-215-8881. That's 347-215-8881. And if not, we'll talk about the transits in the week ahead, which are pretty incredible. And have you been noticing anything that you see coming up, Mark, that you are fascinated by?
Well, we do have...
Pluto is turning retrograde.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pluto stationing. Jupiter stationing today. Mercury conjuncts Uranus exactly, and Jupiter turns direct, and that's very positive.
Right.
I'm seeing this as a good day to talk about PR and getting the word out and sharing a change in ideas and a change in thought patterns.
Yeah, very much.
And when
the Pluto next week turns retrograde, that's going to really be the moment when this Pluto-Uranus square really begins to ease up.
Because
now Pluto will be drawing away from that square. And by the time Pluto turns around again, Uranus will be really well ahead of it and gone.
Mm-hmm.
So this tension that we've felt... really around the globe for several years now around the Pluto-Uranus issues of power, struggles over power and freedom. That's going to ease up. So whatever we've kind of come to understand and resolve through it, that's what we got from it. And it'll carry forward from here.
Yeah, it may, there may continue to be, I think that the issues are on the table. People may continue to act up. I think that I've noticed when Pluto is retrograde, we sometimes see an increase, especially as it's turning direction, an increase in terrorist attacks around the globe. But sort of, you know, the misuse of power. But we can also see, just like I think this last police abuse of power may be a turning point. There can be turning points as Pluto turns directions and Pluto and Uranus begin to pull apart. And that, but when you turn the corner, that doesn't mean you're there yet. You still have a long road to walk. Tomorrow the aspects are really good locally, though. So if you've got something you want to cook, that Moon in Sagittarius trines Jupiter, trines Uranus, trines Mercury, and trines the Sun all in a row and forming a grand trine. And it's a positive day to make outreach, to publish something, to get your newsletter out, to communicate in any way, shape, or form. Don't bother people with details. They've got work to do, but they're thinking on a big scale. On Friday, the Sun conjuncts Mercury, and Mercury is combust. And this actually can be a very powerful time for communication, right before the Moon goes into Capricorn. So, again, tomorrow and the next day, notice what is said. Those statements will have power. Make them good statements. You know, it's a good time for us to formulate an invocation of intent. But it also may be an important time if you have to send someone a notice that says goodbye, that's a good time to do it, or to send out a resume and to be taken seriously in what you say. Then on Venus goes into Gemini over the weekend, and I think that's going to lighten things up a bit. How do you feel about Venus in Gemini?
Yeah, it definitely lightens things up and allows for more possibilities.
Spring fever.
Yeah, it's very sociable. It's a good time to be together with people, you know, and also it allows us to have social interactions with much lower expectation, just being flexible, see where it goes, you know.
Yes.
Rather than having an agenda all the time. That's the nice thing about Venus in Gemini. Not much agenda going on. Just taking notes, you know.
I'm off to visit grandkids, so that should be a perfect thing to do. It's always easy to keep our minds on one thing at a time, but it's good for multitasking, balancing many different things. And Mercury enters Taurus on next Tuesday, and can add extra focus and help us get more grounded as the spring kicks in. And Venus and Saturn will be talking to each other next week. And it may be that work will cramp our style and make it hard to get involved in romance, but that's perfect for tax week. But it can also help us love our work. So it's time for us to head out for the week. Hope you enjoy this spring energy. Think about what's changed in your life as we get ready to step into the next place. And to use the eclipse energy and breaking off what didn't work so there's room for something that does to your advantage. This is Heather Rowan Robbins from Minnesota. And Mark?
Mark Waltz, New York City.
And Ann Ortley, who's not here with us tonight. But all of our emails are on the website. Enjoy. Take care.
Okay. Bye now.
Good night.